We're going to start on Daf Nun Ches Masechtas Ksubas. We're going to start from the two dots, which is on the end of the fourth line of the Gemara, on the top of Nun Ches Amud Aleph. So, right over here. So, the Gemara starts off with quoting a line of the Mishnah, Rav Tarfon Amar Nosan Lo HaKol Truma. So this is talking about, just to bring it back into context, this is talking about if a woman is married, was supposed to get married, they give them 12 months, let's say, for a basula. They were supposed to get married on a particular date, and for whatever reason, as we'll see later on in the Gemara, that the husband doesn't show up. So at that point, he already starts the chiyuvim of supporting her, because he should have been married at that point. He's supposed to support her. Now, if he is a kohen, he is allowed to give her truma, because really, midaraisa, from the time they're already engaged, midaraisa, once they're engaged, she's allowed to eat truma. Midarabanan, we'll see, there are going to be two reasons that the Gemara is going to discuss, but midarabanan, they don't allow during the engagement to eat truma. So we say now that they're supposed to actually be married, with the Chazal originally lifted that takana, that gezeira, that she shouldn't eat truma. So once they get rid of that problem, so now she could eat truma. The question now becomes the machlekes Rabbi Akiva, and between Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Tarfin, how much support is the husband allowed to use out of the truma money? Because the significance of this is that truma money is, to buy truma is much cheaper because it's a much smaller market. It's a buyer's market because there's only kohanim are allowed to eat truma. So when the husband would much rather support her with truma money, which is much cheaper. So going back to the quote that we have over here, Reb Tarfon Omer, Noson as a kol la kol truma, he can give her the full amount that he's supposed to support her for truma. And Rabbi Akiva argues and says that you can only give half truma. Of course, the significance is and the relevance why half versus all, because as we know, a normal girl will for at least almost half the month, or not really quite a half, but for a significant time of the month, she is going to be tummy, typically, and while a girl is tummy, she's not allowed to eat truma. So how do you make up the difference? And that's what the Gemara is going to discuss, how you make up the difference of that for that time that she is tummy. So let's jump into the Gemara right now. Amar Abaya, machloikis bebas koyein lekoyein. This whole story of being able to give even your fiance, your to-be wife, the fact that you're able to give her truma at all is only talking about, or it was the fact that you're able to give her truma during a period of time where she's not allowed to eat the truma, that she's tamei, is only talking about where she's a bas kohen, where she grew up in the family of a kohen. So she understands this, she understands how to deal with truma during that time. Aval bas Yisrael lekohen, divrei hakol mechsa chulin umechsa truma. But if we're talking about a regular bas Yisrael, that she's being introduced to truma for the first time, so then you have to give her half of it has to be regular chulin so that she could eat it during that time. Because she does not have the mechanism, she doesn't have the system in place to be able to sell the truma when she is tummy. So it's very interesting, I saw yesterday, that the reason is because, first of all, she's not, as I said, the pashup shot in Rashi is she's not set up to sell truma. She doesn't know how to do it because, you know, she needs to get regular chulin, she has to sell it to somebody else. But I saw a pshat, I forgot who says this, but his pshat is like this, that if her father is a kohen, her father's able to eat the truma. So it's very easy for her. What she does is she just gives it to her father, and her father swaps it out for something chulin. So she's like, it's not even a question of going out to market. It's a question of literally she has a built-in system. Whereas if she's a bas yisrael, what's she supposed to do? She has all this truma in her house, and she's not supposed, you know, what's she going to go? You know, I don't know what she does for a living, and she's going to go out now to the market to start selling truma. So therefore, according to Abaya, now we're going to see a machlokes about this, but according to Abaya, Abaya says that for this whole concept that you could give her a full payment of truma is only talking about if she's a bas kohen, so she knows how to deal with it. If she's not a bas kohen, then you always, even marrying a kohen, you always have to give her a little bit of chulin. V'omer Abaya, and Abaya also says, machlokes ba'arusa. This is only talking about the idea. In other words, now that the husband has to support, it's only during the engagement. that there's a shita that says you can give her full amount of in truma. Aval benesua. But once she's married, and now it becomes, let's call it, so to speak, a real chiyuv of the husband to support her. Divrei akol mechza chulin and mechza truma. Then absolutely the husband has to support his wife with a half truma. Meaning he doesn't even have, it's not her headache. While they're engaged, it's her headache to transfer the truma money, or potentially, as we'll see later, potentially her loss to transfer the truma money into chulin money. But when they're married, no, that's all on the husband. The husband has to take care of all of it, and he has to make sure that she always has food to eat. So during the time that she's tamei, it's the husband's responsibility to give her that chulin that she could eat while she is tamei. Tanyanami Hachi, we have a brisa that says this too, also very almost exactly what we just said. Rav Tarfin says, Noisin la called Truma, you're able to give a full support using Truma money. Rabbi Akiva, Imer Mechsa Chulun Mechsa Truma. And Rabbi Akiva says, no. Even during, at this stage, the husband already has to supply half of the food in Chulin so she can eat it right away. This Machlek is Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Tarfin is only when she is a Bas Koyin. So she's able to take care of the Truma while she's tummy. But if it's only a Bas Yisrael that's learning the ropes for the first time, everybody holds, even Rabbi Akiva holds that, excuse me, even Rabbi Tarfin holds that you have to give her, even Rabbi Tarfin holds that you have to give her a little bit of chulin so she can deal with it when she's tummy. And then the Brisa continues, and even this whole concept of potentially giving her an all truma is only while they're engaged. But when she is married, then for sure you have to give it, the husband is obligated to give her, it's the husband's responsibility to take care and make sure that she has food in a way that she has the food, so he has to make sure that she has half truma and half chulin. She has to have half chulin. This is talking about, of course, where the wife, and for whatever reason, is not living in the house with the husband. If they're living together, if they're living literally together, obviously the husband's going to take care of it. But this is talking about for whatever, let's say the husband went on a business trip, so he's not around. So he needs to make arrangements. When they're married, even the husband has to give her half chulin. The arrangements have to have half chulin. Now, all of this is according to the Tanakhama Shita. However, Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira Omer, Noisin lo shtei odos shel truma va'acha shel chulin. Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira says, is always, and remember, this is a brisa, so he can be chalik on Rabbi Tarfin and Rabbi Akiva. He says it's always 1/3, 2/3, not half and half. Rabbi Akiva says it's half, half. And Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira says it could be, it's 2/3, 1/3. She only needs 1/3. 1/3 of chulin. Rabbi Yehuda Omer. Now this is Rabbi Yehuda, just the name Rabbi Yehuda by itself. Noyusin lo hakol truma. He says you give her everything in truma money. You could take it out of your truma fund. Vehi mecheres v'loikachas bidomeha chulin, and she takes from that money. So now he says she takes the what she needs and sells it for the value of chulin. Now let's just finish off this last point. Reb Shimon ben Gamliel Omer. Reb Shimon ben Gamliel says, "Kol mokam shehuskaru truma noisin lo kiflayim bechulin." He says, anytime that you're giving her truma, you have to give her double the amount that you would give if you were giving her chulin direct. Because he understands, as we spoke about before, if she's going to have to sell that truma, she's going to have to sell it for half price, because there's no market for it, or very little market for it. So according to Rav Shimon Gamliel, he says that it's not enough to just, let's say for example, let's just make it simple, she gets 7 apples a week. So, fine, 7 apples, he says, he understands that if you're gonna take that truma apple and try to sell it on the market, you're only gonna get the equivalent of a half an apple. She's not gonna have enough to eat. So Rav Shimon Gamliel says, no, and so you have to give her 14 apples. If you're gonna give her truma, you have to give 14 apples, you have to give 2 every day. So she has enough to sell it and then replace it with a regular truma apple. So my beinaihu, so what is the difference, between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, because they both say that you have to give her enough, she has to go and sell it and replace it. She has to go and replace it. Ikabei nayo tircha. The difference is the tircha of who has to go ahead and replace it with something else. Meaning, according to Rabbi Yehuda, according to Rabbi Yehuda, she has the tircha. She has to go and find. It says that she sells it and she finds the chulin. And according to Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel, he makes it not a tircha. He makes it not a tircha because he gives her double what she needs. So double what she needs. So it's less of a tircha for her to find people who are able to buy. So she has enough money to be able to support herself. Okay. Point. Rabbi Yehuda also agrees that when he says that she's going to have to sell it, Rabbi Yehuda says that you have to give her enough truma so that she'll be able to sell it and replace it with chulin for the amount of chulin that she would need to support herself for the week. That the only one who says that you give her less is Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira. Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira says you give her whatever it would cost, and the fact that there's a shortfall is not the husband's problem. Okay? So that's according to Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira. But according to Rabbi Yehuda, you have to give her enough so that when she sells it, she'll have enough to replace it with enough chulin to eat. And according to Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, he says, he just gives a number. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says, just pay her double. But the difference between them, so what would be the machlek is the difference between them, that they both say that there's enough money there. The question is, whose tircha is it to go and sell? According to Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, the husband would have to take care of it so that he has enough to, that she has enough to eat chulin, from the amount that she needs. Now the Gemara continues on the next point in the Mishnah. It says, the next point of this Mishnah is, Hayavam Eina Maichel B'Trumah. So the Yavam, the simple case of Yavam is, let's talk about our case, where she was engaged, they never got married, they hadn't gotten married yet, and then the brother, the husband dies without any children, so there is a Chiyav Yibum, once there's Kedushin already, there's a Chiyav Yibum. So, let's say now at this point it's already the full year is up and it's time to start supporting her, but her husband died and she's waiting to do yibum. So there the Mishnah says that the yavam, it's not his responsibility to support her. He never married her. So the Gemara says, my time. Why? Well, I mean, so she's waiting to be married by him and she's waiting. So the Gemara answers, kinyan kaspa yamarachbana, because the Torah says the reason why she's able to eat truma at all while she's waiting. Now, this is not saying that she doesn't get supported. It's just saying that you can't give her truma. The reason why you're allowed to is because of the special halacha of kinyan kasvay, and kinyan kasvay allows a husband to give his wife or his arusa money. But v'hai kinyan de'achivhu. This woman, while she's waiting to do yibum, the Yavam himself didn't really create a relationship with her. He's not as kinyan kasvay. He's really just taking over or stepping into the shoes of his brother. So it's not his relationship. So since it's not his relationship, he cannot be the one. He doesn't have enough of a connection to be able to give her truma. So she is, so to speak, in limbo over here. Because her husband, who would have been allowed to give her truma, is dead. And once a husband dies, she cannot eat truma, we'll learn different halachas, that unless she has a son who is a kayin. But obviously, if we're talking about Yibum, she didn't have a son. So, right? Because if she had a son, that would be a whole different story. Then it wouldn't be Yibum. So there's no son over here, and the husband died. The new brother didn't take over yet. So it didn't take over yet, so she gets stuck without being allowed to eat truma. Now the Gemara continues and says, also shisha chadashim b'fnei abal. So the Mishnah now sort of points out and says, what if they only did, the Mishnah points out there's a lot of variables or variations of how at what stage the Yibum took place. Did the Yibum take place the day after the initial engagement, or did it take place, or did the husband die the day before they were supposed to get married? So the Mishnah says it doesn't matter. She could do 6 months over here or 9 months over there. It doesn't make a difference. So the Gemara says, well, actually, hashta b'fnei abal amris loy. So if we say that while the husband, if the husband himself would have been alive during their engagement, again, during the regular first 12 months of their engagement, he does not have an obligation to support her. So of course the Yavam, who hasn't married her yet, is not going to have an obligation to support her. So the Gemara agrees and says, that you're right. Once we say that the husband doesn't have a chiyuv to support her until the 12 months, obviously the Yavam would not have a chiyuv to support her until the 12 months. The chiddush is that when you get to the 12 months, now there is a chiyuv to support, Okay, that's what the Mishnah is trying to say. But the fact that the Yavam doesn't have to support her until the 12 months, obviously we understand that that's clear, because even the husband himself did not have a chiyuv. Okay, now the Gemara goes to the next part of the Mishnah, Zu Mishnah Rishayna. Now this whole concept of the fact that the husband now has to start or can't support her after 12 months, and he can even give her truma after 12 months, was only what the Chazal, so to speak, originally thought. But eventually Chazal changed their perspective on things, and they said, no, there's no truma whatsoever until they literally get married. So obviously we have to understand what changed. Why did they originally think it was okay for her to eat truma, and then all of a sudden change their mind? So my timer. So why? Why did they eventually, Chazal, say that she can't eat truma until they're married? Amar Ula, so Ula says, v'itemi Rav Shmuel bar Yehuda mishum bar Yehuda, in the name of Shmuel bar Yehuda, mishum simfoin. So simfoin means a mistake or something wrong. So he says, because there's still a problem over here, even though technically they should be married and therefore there's a chiyuv, however, there's always a possibility that he might find out and learn something about her that makes this an entirely a mekach tois. So since it's a mekach tois, and therefore it's as if they were never married in the first place, it will turn out to be that she was not allowed to eat truma all along. So since we're worried about that, we're not going to allow her to eat truma until they literally get married and make sure and confirm that there are no issues for mekach tois. Okay, so the Gemara says like this. So I understand that originally, you have to understand, so even originally, remember, technically midaraisa, so that she could start eating truma immediately when they get engaged. So we have to understand why we waited 12 months in the first place. So Ula, I understand the way it works is like this. The first, originally, meaning the first version of Chazal, where they said after 12 months you start eating, so they said, what was the issue? The issue was that maybe because she's still living with her family, that she might end up giving some of the truma to the rest of her family. And if it's to the rest of the family, so then they're not allowed to eat truma. So fine. So that's why originally they said, okay, it's only until while she's living with the rest of the family. After 12 months, there's going to be designated place for her to eat truma. So we're not worried about the rest of the family. And Ubasraya Mishum Simfoin. And the end of the Mishnah, where we had Chazal change their opinion, is talking about, they said, an additional problem of maybe it will turn out to be a Mekach Tois. That maybe it'll be a Mekach Tois altogether, and that's why even after 12 months, she cannot eat Truma. Elo, now on the top of Nun Chesamadez, Elo le Rav Shmuel bar Yehuda, according to Rav Shmuel bar Yehuda, that holds all along, the whole issue was always Simfoin. So what changed from beginning to, what changed from the beginning of Chazal's thoughts to the end of Chazal's thoughts? It was always, the Simfoin was always the problem. So my Beinayo. So why originally did we think that she could eat Truma after 12 months? So the Gemara says, "Ikubeinayu bedikas chutz." The difference between them would be if the fact that he's seen her after 12 months, and he has relatives check into her. So I guess they did the shidduch very quickly without checking too much, and his relatives checked into her and saw that she doesn't have any mumim, but they couldn't really see like everything. They could only see, you know, her walking down the street. She walked down the street, so there's no mum. Okay, fine. So that looked good enough for them. So therefore, in the beginning, Mar Sover Badika's Chos Shmo Badika. In the beginning, they thought the fact that the relatives can check, that's, you know, pretty much a guarantee that there isn't going to be a problem. So we can start eating truma right away. So it's only a problem during the first 12 months where she's with her family. Mar Sover Badika's Chos Loi Shmo Badika. And then eventually Chazal said, no, the fact that her aunt checked her out, or his aunt checked her out, is not going to be good enough. And we're still worried about the fact that when they get married and he's living with her, that there he can see everything about her and he'll see whether there's actually a mum. So that might turn out to be a mekach tois even later. So it's a question of whether the general idea that you see things look good, whether that's enough to be considered, take away the concern that there's a mum over here or not. So at the end, in conclusion, we say that it turns out everybody happens to agree, the maskano, that she cannot eat truma until they literally get married, because everybody is worried that it might turn out to be a mekach tois. Okay. Let's learn a new Mishnah. It's a whole new sugya. Again, obviously this whole parak is going to talk about different chiyuvim between of the husband to the wife and the wife to the husband, which we'll eventually get to. But this is a whole new concept. We're not discussing when he starts to support her. The next Mishnah says as follows. Hamakdish maisi yedei ishtoi. A husband wants to be very generous, and he says anything that my wife produces, any value that my wife is able to work and any income she has, they should become hektish. So, what's the halacha then? The Mishnah says, Harezu oisa v'echeles. She gets to do her work, and she gets to eat from the food. In other words, what the Mishnah is saying is, it's not very clear just from reading the words, but what that means to say is that, no, she gets to use that, let's say, salary that she gets does not become hektish. The husband does not have the right, and we'll see what the case is in the Gemara, but the husband does not have the right to take away from her earnings and make them hektish for money that she needs to support herself. We'll see the clarification in the Gemara. But the point is, simple reading is that he cannot make what she earns into hektish. It's not, the husband can't do that. However, hamoiser, let's say she earns extra. So we'll see later on in this parak actually that the average woman earns approximately five sloim, whatever that is. Let's call it $5 a week. So she earns $5 a week. So that's all she really needs to support herself. Let's say this is she earns $7 a week. So that extra $2. Those $2, what's the halacha with those extra $2? Because she doesn't really need it to support herself. So, the Mishnah continues, Rav Meir Oimer, Hektish. Rav Meir says, okay, not a problem. We can give that to Hektish. Because now she doesn't need it. Rav Yochanan Sandler Oimer Chulin. Rav Yochanan Sandler says, no, the husband has no right to designate his wife's earnings to Hektish. At least while they continue to be married. He cannot give that money away to Hektish. He doesn't control the money that she earns. Even though we know, and this is what the Gemara is going to talk about, even though we know that really the wife's earnings do go to the husband, right? What mashakana ishta kanabala. Whatever goes to the wife goes to the husband. It's not enough his to be able to make it Hektish. Until at least the money reaches his wallet, then he could do whatever he wants once it's in his wallet. But that's, okay, so we have the base, part of the base earnings, and then the extra earnings, her bonus. So let's see what the case is exactly. What's the situation over here? Zok the Gemara. Amar Rav Huna. So we're going to have a machlekes over here. So the first sheet is Rav Huna Shita. Amar Rav Huna, Amar Rav. Yechila isha loymer labala eina nizoynes ve'eina oisa. A woman is able to turn around to her husband and says, listen, you don't have to support me, and I'm not going to do any work for you. This is the relationship that we have. Because we know, as we'll really need to see the next line of the Gemara, and then we'll explain, that the way Chazal set up the arrangement between the husband and the wife was that the husband has a chiyuv to support his wife. And then we said, listen, if the husband's already giving her all the support, then the money she earns she doesn't need. So then it makes sense so that he doesn't get upset that whatever she earns goes to him. But the key here is that the way Chazal saw this was that the main thing was that he has to support her. Regardless of what she does, he has to support her. Then, okay, no, we'll give her money to him. But now, if that means that since the main thing is that he has to support her, that's the Takanas Chazal that was created for her benefit. Because he has to support her. That's the initiation of the Takana. So if she says, listen, thank you, Chazal, I'd rather not, I don't want it, so she gets to decide. Because if the whole point of the Takana was only to protect her, and she doesn't want that protection, then she has the right to turn it down. Okay. So therefore, as the Gemara continues, we stopped in the middle of the sentence. Dechi Amra Eina Nizoynis Ve'Eina Oisa. So now, when she says, "Okay, you know what? This was my protection. I don't want this protection. I don't want your food, and therefore, I don't have to earn money for you." Harishus Biyodoi. So it's up to her to decide to make that decision. Because again, the key here is that it was created, this relationship, this monetary relationship, was created by Chazal for her benefit. If she doesn't want that benefit, then she doesn't have to accept it, and she could go back to the way it was. I work for myself, you work for yourself. However, it's Meisvei, that's your contradiction. Because we say tikkun mezonos tachas ma'aseh yadeha, the way we say it is that Chazal set it up that you get the mezonos because you get the ma'aseh yadeha. Now, if you say it like that, that sounds like really you're getting her ma'aseh yadeha. So once I'm getting her ma'aseh yadeha, therefore I give her mezonos. The opposite of what we just said. Not that first I give her mezonos, therefore I get her ma'aseh yadeha. Just the opposite. We're saying I get her ma'aseh yadeha, therefore I give her mezonos. Which is one and which is two? So it's a contradiction. So the Gemara says, no, Ema, just switch it around. Tiknu ma'aseh yadeha, tachas mezonos. Okay, just switch it around how you do it. We get ma'aseh yadeha because he has to give her the mezonos. Fine. No problem. Lema Messiah le. So let's bring our Mishnah as a proof, because our Mishnah says, ha'makdish ma'aseh yadeha ishto, if somebody tries to donate the earnings of his wife, no, she continues to eat. She continues to work and eat. What does that say? What does that say? That says we see that it's hers. It's hers to control. My lab and mezonos. And this is talking about even if he's giving her mezonos, it's still her money to. It's her, her situation to control. So we see even if the husband is giving her money. So the Gemara says, Loi, b'she'ena nizaynaviz. We're talking about the reason why it's not hekdesh is because he's not giving her support. Oh, if the husband's not giving support the way he's supposed to, then of course, if he's not giving her support, now what she earns, she gets to keep, because the husband's not doing his half of the deal, and she needs to eat, of course, whatever she earns, she gets to keep. Fine. So then it's not a contradiction at all. Ibisha'ena nizaynaviz. So the Gemara says, one second, if the husband's not giving her mezonos, ma'ala memra, then what's the chiddush? Of course the money is hers, because he's not giving her anything, she has to support herself. And the Gemara takes it one step further. Even if you want to hold like the shita that says, when you're dealing with a master-slave relationship, he's able to say, he says, you have to work for me, but I'm not giving you support. Okay, there is a shita that says you can do that. You don't have to support your slave. So hani mili be'eved kanani, that's at best talking about an eved kanani, deloy ksiv be imcha, because it doesn't say that he lives with you. Aval eved ivri, but a Jewish slave, deksiv be imcha, that the pasuk says that he lives with you, like loy, you're not allowed to do that. You're not allowed to cut off support of your own Jewish slave. The kol shekein ishtoi, now if that's true by a slave, certainly that's true by your wife, that you can't just leave her out on the cold, out on the street, and say, I don't want to give you support. Of course, you can never just turn off the tap and say, sorry, you're on your own. You can't do that. So, of course, and if the husband said, I'm not giving her support, of course she then can turn around and say, well, then whatever I earn, I get to keep. So what would be the chiddush? So the Gemara says, you're right, that's not a chiddush. However, seifa itzrich lei. The chiddush is not in the fact that she gets to keep her own money to support herself. The chiddush is in meiser. The chiddush would be, if let's say in that situation where he's not supporting her, she earns more than she needs, so now she has support. It's her own support, but she has support. So now, but she has an extra $2. What do you do with that? There, Rav Meir, Omer, hektish. Even, then Rav Meir says, well, she doesn't need it. Then it becomes hektish. And Rav Yochanan Sandler, Omer, Chul, and Rav Yochanan Sandler says, no. No deal. If the husband's not supporting her, and she's supporting herself, then she completely and entirely controls that money. And the husband has no say in the matter whatsoever, and even the extra that she, so to speak, doesn't need, that will stay chulin. The husband has no right to dictate what happens with that money whatsoever. Okay? This is the way Rav Huna explains our Mishnah. So it comes out that the case of our Mishnah, the way Rav Huna is explaining, is a situation where the husband is not supporting his wife. He's not supporting his wife, and therefore the money that she earns, she gets to keep, because she has to support herself. And now the situation is, now that he's not supporting her, okay, fine. So then it's her money, and then it becomes a question, what about the extra? That's a side machlokes. Upligi the Reish Lakish, but this whole explanation would not work according to Reish Lakish. So I'm Reish Lakish. Don't say that the reason Rav Meir is saying that it doesn't work, it's not hektish, is because you can't be makdish davar shaloi bo le'olam, and that's why Rav Meir, right, but the extra he could. Elo time of the Reb Meir, the reason why, according to Reb Meir, the base doesn't become hektish is mitoch sheyachal lekayfa lemaisa yadeha. Since he's able to force her to work, again, the husband has the right to demand that his wife works at least minimally. So nasa ka'oimer lo. So it's as if he says to her, Yakdushi yodech le'oy sehem. What he's saying is, I want you to work, but I am dedicating your hands to the Creator. Now it is like this, because it really he's addressing a completely different issue. See, Reb Meir holds, you cannot, Rabbi Shaloi Bali Yodom doesn't work. Okay? Sorry, the opposite. Oh, the Makdash Rabbi Shaloi Bali Yodom. It's not because Reb Meir happens to hold that you could be makdish something that doesn't yet exist. But over here, that's not even the issue. Over here, because he's going to get away with it, over here, because Reb Meir also has another shita that says, Eino de moitzi davar levatala, a person doesn't say things that are meaningless. So therefore, when he says something, he means it. He has to mean something that makes sense. So what he's saying is, even if the earnings don't exist yet, because you didn't do the work, but your hands do exist. And I can say something about your hands, which exist, what they should be doing. So therefore, according to Reb Meir, I can control, since I have the right to demand that your hands work, I can therefore be matish what your hands create, because I could talk about your hands, that they exist. Okay, fine. So according to Reish Lakish, it's the middle of a sentence, so the Gemara continues, but that's not what he said. Well, he never said that I want your hands to be hektish. So this is what the Gemara finally adds the explanation that we've been adding. Kivin deshamin le the Reb Meir. Since we know that Reb Meir's shita in general is the Omar that Reb Meir holds, ein oda moitzi davar levatala, dvar levatala. Since a person would never say something that doesn't make any sense, if he said something, he had to mean something. So therefore, nasaka Omar lo yakdishu yodeiach. That I'm donating your hands for hektish. Now, once your hands are hektish, then anything you produce with your hands is going to be hektish. So even though I can't say the earnings which don't exist, but I could say your hands that do exist, that the hands themselves are hektish, and that's what Reb Meir holds, that's why it can become hektish. Now, the Sover Reb Meir ain't other maktish davar shaloi ba'li adam. 1 second. You're telling me that Reb Meir holds you cannot be makdish davar shaloi bo le'olam, you have to use the hands, but you cannot talk about the earnings that don't exist yet. V'atanya, this happens to be Reb Meir's famous shita that it does work. Ha'omer le'isha, harei ha'mekudeshes li la'acha she'es gayer. If a guy says to a woman, I will marry you after you go through geirus. That means today you're not a geir. It's something that's going to happen in the future, or even potentially happen in the future. Or even something, I will become a ger. Or he talks to a slave and he says, after you become freed, then I'm going to marry you. Or after I become freed as a slave. Or even goes over to a married woman and says, when your husband died and you become available, I want to be married to you. Or your sister, I'm currently married to your sister. This is a lovely marriage, obviously. I'm married to your sister. And after your sister dies, oh, then by the way, I'm interested in you. So, or another situation, I can't marry you until you do chalitza, so I'll wait to do chalitza. So all of those things are situations where currently at the moment cannot exist. I have to wait for some other circumstance, outside thing to happen. Go through geirus, go through freedom, whatever it is, and then I'll marry you. So Reb Meir Omer Mikudeshes. Reb Meir says it works. Oh, so Reb Meir doesn't have a problem with the fact that it doesn't exist yet. So why do we need this Mishnah to tell us that he meant that her hands are going to be hektish? So we see that Reb Meir doesn't care about her making her hands hektish. Reb Meir has no problem talking about earnings that don't exist. The same way he has no problem talking about a woman who's still married to somebody else, though her freedom doesn't exist yet. But Reb Meir doesn't have a problem with that. So the Gemara says, you're right. May he in, may ha lek lamashmi mino. You're right. It's true. Reb Meir's shita in general is that a davar shaloi bo le'olam is not a problem at all. I don't have an issue with that. That's not my issue. My issue here is that it can't prove it, because according to Reb Meir, there's another way to interpret our Mishnah in a way that Darsh Loi Bali Olam is not a problem. It's not, you're right. At the end of the day, Reb Meir for himself personally could have held, I could donate her earnings. That could be, because that happens to be Reb Meir Shita. But if you want to know if you're looking at this Mishnah as an outsider, whether this Mishnah says it or not, you don't have a proof that it's a Davar Shaloi Boilolam, because I could set up our Mishnah in a case that I'm talking about her hands, so we don't have to get involved with the Davar Shaloi Boilolam issue. Okay. Fine. So now we're going to start the next Gemara. The next Gemara continues a little bit into Nun Tes Amud Aleph. So we'll start, we'll see if we go through it quickly, maybe we'll get to a stopping point. Otherwise we'll have to stop in the middle. Now, one thing you need to know, which we didn't discuss yet, is that, as we said, a husband has an obligation to support his wife. But not only does a husband have the obligation to support his wife in what her basic needs, that she has enough to live properly, but a husband also has a chiv, we never talked about this before, but the husband also has a chiv to give her a ma'al kesef. In addition, so let's just keep it simple over here, that he has to give her $10 a week for food and whatever, so that she has a place to live, she can eat and live. He also has to give her an extra dollar for free stuff. Extra dollar above and beyond what she needs. He has to give her an extra ma'al. Okay? Now, as we talk, that's important to understand. So now that you understand that he's giving her base plus one, a bonus, every week he gives her the base and a bonus. So, we also, now it could be the other way around. When she's earning a living, she has the potential to earn a base, the expectation which is five sloim, and she also has the potential to earn more than that. Okay, so now when we talk about the fact that the wife has to give the husband what she earns, so what are we talking about? Are we talking about the base, or are we talking about the extra? Which part of it are we talking about that the wife has to give to the husband? So now, this is the issue, the back and forth that the Gemara is going to discuss over here. So it says, the Gemara says, like, quotes the next part of the Mishnah, Hamoyser Reb Meir Omer Hektish. The extra, so again, as I said, a wife has an obligation to earn a certain amount, and then the extra, that is a separate machlek, is whether that extra also becomes hektish or not. So now, even that extra that we're discussing, even the fact that Reb Meir says the extra becomes hektish, Amos Kadosh, when does that extra become hektish? So, he says, like, Rabu Shmuel d'Amar Tarvayu, Moyser la'achar miso Kadosh. The fact is, the base he couldn't touch at all. But even the extra that becomes hektish is only after she dies. Okay? And he yarshins it. So once he yarshins it, now it's his money, so it becomes hektish. The point is that it's already designated that it will become hektish once she dies. Rav Adavar Ahava Omer, Moiser Mechaim Kadosh. No, he says, listen, it's the extra. So the extra could apply even when she's still alive. So we have a basic machloikas Rav and Shmuel versus Rav Adi Bar Ahava. Everybody in Reb Meir Shita, by the way, that says it becomes hektish. The question is when? Immediately or eventually when it hits his pocket? So Ahava Bar Rav Papa, B'mai. What case are we discussing over here that it becomes his? Ilema B'malala Mezainos, U'malala Ma'al Kesef, that he's supporting her and he's giving her the extra money, litzarcheh, for what she needs. So give me 10 seconds. Okay, sorry. So the Gemara says that if we're talking about that he's giving her all the support that she needs, so then my time at the Madi Amalach are Misa Kodesh. So then if he's giving her all the support that she needs, she should be giving everything to him. So why would we say that it only applies after she dies? So maybe he's to say the opposite. We're talking about where he's not giving her anything. So then, my time in the Mandi Amar Mechayim Kodesh. So if he's not giving her anything, then she should keep everything. And it shouldn't become hektish whatsoever. So again, we're going to stop over here. I know this is in the middle of the sugya, but we're going to stop because it's the bottom of the Amid. So the Gemara says, we are talking about where he is giving her mezainos, but he's not giving her that extra. So there's a split. He's giving her some, but not all. And that's why we're going to be able to split a little bit. Rav Shmuel Sover, Tiknu Mezonis Tachas Maisi Odeha, Umo Kesef Tachas Maiser. This is already next line. And that's the machlekes. We'll explain the machlekes next time in Meretz Hashem. Okay, we'll stop over here. But the point is, that's the answer to the question. We'll explain the machlekes next time, because it's very late. But the point is that if the reason why we have a machlekes over here is because he's giving her enough, but not all. He's giving her the minimum, but not all. So does that a little bit make it that he's getting her earnings right away? Or does that little bit apply only to the amount that, you know, to match what he's giving her? And what he's not giving her, he doesn't get to keep. Okay, we'll stop over here, and Amir Tzushem, next time we'll chazer this, and we'll take it further from this point.